Welcome to episode 267 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're going to have Judy McNamee from ADHDCoachConnect.com. She's going to come on and talk to us a little bit today about when we're raising kiddos with ADHD, what should we do with them after high school? Stay tuned for more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new parent, or even if you're a longtime seasoned one. There's always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is November the 20th, 2013. Our topic for today is going to be a fantastic interview with Judy McNamee. She's going to come on and talk to us a little bit today about how do we transition our kiddo after they leave high school if they've been diagnosed with ADHD and or if they have high levels of attention deficit or a lot of hyperactivity, a lot of energy. What do we do with our kiddos? How do we teach them? And in a lot of cases, we have a tendency to fall short right as they graduate. Now they're kind of on their own, right? We've done our duty. Well, let's get them prepped. Let's get them ready. Let's get them out. And she's going to be a fantastic lady. Before we get into our call with her, let's jump into some quick housekeeping, guys. Don't forget, if you want to get notified of new episodes, jump on over to thefamilypodcast.com, enter your name and your email address. Also, if you want to be a part of building Family Podcast Network. I mean, I ask folks a lot of questions, and I use typically the email client to ask questions from you guys on what should we do, how should we do it, how should we grow this place. So sign up for that if you want to be a part of seeing Family Podcast Network be built and get to say, hey, listen, I was a part of building this place. Jump on over there, make sure you enter your name and email address, and we'll get you a part of that as well. Also, don't forget, if you want to become a member, a PTAC, or Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids, that's our funny little twist on becoming a member of the show, you can do that by going to thefamilypodcast.com, clicking on Become a Member, or on the PTACer tab. You jump on over there, there's two ways you can do that. $5 a month, you can help support this show. I'm telling you, it sounds small, but let me tell you, it goes a long, long way. So if you're willing to give up a cup of coffee for this many shows that we knock out a week to help you take the stress out of your parenting, consider doing that. You can also do it a little bit cheaper at $50 for an entire year's worth, and when you do that, you do get access to premium membership stuff only available to those who are members. You can also, guys, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, jump on over, and lots of ways you can touch base with us. Let's say you want to hear a show. You're like, Trey, I really want to hear a show on lots of ways to do that. You can always email me, Trey Gibson, at thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. You can also leave a SpeakPipe message by going to thefamilypodcast.com. Over the right-hand side, you'll see it says Ask Trey a Question. Click on that. As long as you got a microphone on your computer, you can ask us any question that you want. Leave a voicemail. We'll put it on the show. Guys, if you also have a cell phone, you're like, dadgummit, Trey, I don't have a computer, but I got my cell phone. Call us at 661-PARENT-0. Again, that number is 661-PARENT. And the number zero, whenever you call that number, you will go straight to a Google voicemail, and you'll leave me your question on there, and we'll see about knocking us out, something that you can touch base with us. You can also contact us over on Facebook and or Twitter. We like to touch base with you guys. All right, with all of the housekeeping out of the way today, let's jump into our topic for today, which again is going to be how do we transition our kid after high school if they have been diagnosed with ADHD. Let's talk about that today. Real quick, Judy is the founder of ADHD Coach and ADHD Coach Connect LLC. She has earned both a BS and an MBA from Ashland University, along with a master's in science from Illinois State University. This education provided her with the groundwork to spend the last 15 years working side by side with middle and high school teens struggling with ADHD and related disabilities. She is quoted as saying, I established ADHD Coach Connect to reach ADHD students, parents, and educators. I watched daily as students struggled with executive functions. I want them to understand that they're in brain and embrace their differences. My passion is to help parents and teens better prepare themselves for the transition of independence and manage their ADHD to move forward in their lives. Judy has recently completed her training through ADHD Coaching Academy and is currently working towards her ACC certification with the International Coaching Federation. She is a member of the ADDA. And Chad, there's a whole bunch of stuff here that she's a member of, guys. She has definitely been submersing herself in the culture. She is a switched-on lady. ADHD Coach Connect has been featured in the Business First Columbus and NBC Daytime Columbus. Judy, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Trey. I appreciate it.
Well, I tell you what, you sent me this request to be on the show, and it absolutely caught my attention because you suggested that we have an episode over how do we transition our kids after they get to high school, which I think is absolutely brilliant. I think that we are so just under-knowledged. I'm just going to make that word up, Judy. We're so under-knowledged here when it comes to working with kiddos who have been diagnosed with ADHD. And I think that if you take a look at where most of the help lies, where does it stop at? Well, it stops after our kids get out. And I think that is – can kids survive? Sure. But what if we had something set up where we can actually help them make that transition when they get out? So I love what you suggested us talking about today. Before we get into that, Judy, why don't you go ahead and just talk a little bit about yourself. Tell us where you came from. Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I'm a previous New Jersey girl transported out here to the Midwest. So I lived on the East Coast for a long time, came out here to go to school. Spent some years at Ashland, Illinois State, and went into teaching. I taught out here for quite a few years and actually just left the teaching world in May of last year. Mm-hmm. I was an intervention specialist for the last 15 plus years. So I worked a lot with our ADHD kids and obviously others with related disabilities. So when I left teaching, that's when I really wanted to kind of pursue my passion, which was to work more closely with these students and their families and to try and get them unstuck, if you will. I mean, I just watched my kids struggle all the time. So I established ADHD Coach Connect in order to do that. So that's where we are. And so I'm just in the process now of getting that word out, the ADHD awareness out to parents, helping them realize that they need to transition their kids from the high school years on into post-secondary.
You know, I find it interesting that you refer to yourself as an ADHD coach. And see, I like that. But tell me, what exactly is an ADHD coach?
Well, a coach is similar to a coach who coaches athletes. So what we do is actually develop skills. We work with children. We work with their families. We develop skills. We develop strategies for them so that they can understand and actually manage their brains. It's a specialized aspect, Trey, of life coaching. And I think that's become a little bit more prominent over the last 15 plus years. So we explore, you know, what we call the executive functions in our clients or our teams. We find their strengths. We find what they struggle with. They understand themselves a little bit better. And then we work together with them to develop action plans, strategies, so that they can manifest those strengths and actually move themselves forward through life and find success.
You know, I think it's interesting, too. If you take a look at, you know, you're using the analogy, that's a metaphor, isn't it? You're using the metaphor earlier of like coaching athletes. And I think it's interesting that some of the best teams that I've ever actually got to spend some time around, it's like I spent some time with a professional football team once, and it was so incredible to watch them because they all had special team coaches. So, you know, I grew up in six-man football in Texas, right, which is just, you know, high-paced, fast action, and there was one coach, maybe a second coach in most of us because we were such a small school, and he taught us everything that he could, as best as he could. But the reality was, I mean, he was more of the tactician. He was more of the let's come up with plays, let's figure out their weaknesses and exploit those and beat them on the field. And so there wasn't a specialty to it. And I always find it interesting as I spent time with these teams that are just they're absolute professionals. They do it for their profession. How they have these coaches that teach the individual. You know, there was the coach for kickoff and kickoff return coaches, and there was, you know, punt and extra point coaches. And I found that so interesting how much more laser targeted they could be when we have that. So I find it interesting that you say ADHD coaching because I think that is such a great thing. To take the time and say, all right, we need to really, this is a very different individual. They are unique in who they are. They are not going to be just like everybody else. So let's work with folks and let's help them come up with something that works specifically for them. So I love what you're doing and I love what you're saying with that. So let me ask you a question: Is this a replacement for other type of therapies?
Oh, absolutely not. It can be very, very effective standalone. It's unique. It's an alternative. But really what we're looking for is not to replace other therapies. We're not counselors. We're not therapists. We're not psychologists. but we work with those people. So we really want to be another piece of the treatment, if you will. Students that might be on medications, that helps them from the biological aspect. Counselors, pediatricians, psychologists, etc. But what we do is actually develop those skills, and that's what the students have been missing. The medication may help them focus a little bit better, help them, focus, because it usually does calm them down. Obviously, some of them have a lot of side effects, too. But that doesn't help them develop the skills. You know, actually, I think, what's the saying? The pills don't help the skills.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Yeah.
Pills don't help the skills. But students actually need to understand, how that brain is wired. It's sort of like taking, I guess, one of my analogies is, you know, if you want to take the interstate from one large city to another, we would normally hop on 70, hop on 80, whatever it might be. Well, if that road's broken or torn up, you're still going to get from, say, Chicago to wherever, Columbus, but you're going to find another way. So that's all we're doing, is saying your main freeway doesn't work the same way as everyone else's. So you need to just find some alternatives that do work for you.
You know, I think you're bringing in an interesting component to this, because we're talking about neurology here, the study of the brain and how it works and how different people have different sets of wiring in neurology. And I think that's a good thing to know. You know, one of the things that used to be when I used to do these actual in classroom settings long, long ago before I started doing it on the radio. And I remember that the favorite chapter, the chapter where I watched parents have the biggest transformation, no matter what their kid was going through, no matter how upset they were, how angry they were at them, every time we would get to the neurology, I would watch parents go from angry to understanding and just so quickly. And I remember there was this one, we had this one family, and we were talking about the neurology of things and how things work when it comes to the prefrontal cortex. That's where we get that part of the brain that helps us make rational decisions. It's when a healthy adult gets really upset about something, it's the part that lights up and it causes them to bring it down a little bit. You know what? Maybe that person dang near blew me off the road and almost killed me or whatever else while I was driving, but you know what? Maybe they're in a hurry. Maybe they're hospital. That's that part that kicks in, right? And that's contrast with the amygdala in the middle of the brain. That's the part that gets really worked up, right? And so those two have to learn how to coordinate with each other. And we would always talk about how the neurology works behind this. And I would explain it to parents and to kids alike. And you could see that connection when they began to realize, okay, do we need to get better at, you know, what our teenager is doing, for instance? Do we need to work on getting that honed out a little bit better and not making poor choices and decisions irrationally and those kinds of things? Absolutely, we've got to do that. However, when you can see that there's a reason behind this in terms of the manifestations through what happens in the brain, when they made that connection, it was so powerful, both for the kid and for the parent. And so I love that you're doing that. I love that y'all are bringing in that brain knowledge. Let's talk about what's going on in there. Let's help you understand what's going on. And I really think it brings a level of validation to people, you know?
I would totally agree. You know, ADHD has gotten such a bad rap, if you will. Way back when it was the moral issue that parents were not raising their children, if you will, appropriately. And then it kind of shifted, the stigma shifted over to behavior. And unfortunately, that's still alive and well. But finally, we're getting some current research, a lot of what you just explained, in the fact that it's a biological disability, that there are changes in those neurotransmitters. And you're exactly right, that once parents understand that, we try to speak the same language. And that's actually one thing that I do when I initiate coaching with a client, is we get everybody together, because that is the support system. The parents, the sisters, the brothers, even teachers. That's the support system and the safety net. And they all have to be speaking that same language. And I think parents, until they understand that neurology behind it, you know, to them it's, why is my child forgetting their homework? Why is my child not finding their homework? They're not doing all those things to upset mom and dad. They're doing those things because they're incapable of it with the structure that they're given.
You know, this is kind of a slight side note here too, but you've got me thinking about something that's been on my heart for a little while now too. But you were describing kind of that community of people that we reach out to, that we kind of bring in as I think you said support network or some kind of vernacular like that. And, you know, and I was thinking about this the other day, Judy. I mean, in reality, what you're doing with this ADHD coaching, I mean, to me, one of the questions comes back to, I mean, aren't you really doing what we should have been doing no matter if our kid has been diagnosed with ADHD? You know, and I'm just as guilty. This is not a finger point. Please hear me say, this is much accepting my own responsibility in this as well. But we've become such an individualistic nation, which I don't mind individualism. I think it's good. But, you know, we've lost that element of community where where everybody knows each other. And it's always a lot easier to respond to anybody that we're having a hard time with, whether it's an employee at work who's giving us a hard time or a kiddo who's diagnosed with ADHD. It's easier to connect with somebody when we know them, when we have community, when we've known them from little bitty and we've seen them grow up through all these different things and we've been there for them and all this different stuff. But then it seems as though we've just kind of split off, and we're a lot of what we're reteaching under the flag of Family Podcast Network or ADHD coaching is really just kind of reminding people we still have to be communal.
You're exactly right. And with the technology of today, with texting and emails and Instagrams, et cetera, children and families don't have that social connection that we had before. So things are also interpreted a little bit differently than maybe how they're said. And that's extremely crucial in raising the ADHD child, you know, and guiding them and finding out what they're feeling and how they're interpreting things that are given to them. Because of that stigma in the past, self-esteem is one of the struggles with that ADHD teen, because they've been beaten and beaten and beaten. You know, they may not answer the questions correctly. They may not be paying attention. And it's always brought to the forefront in situations and kind of makes them stick out like a sore thumb. So that self-confidence really just starts to wear and wear and get frayed. So it's even more important for families to put that support system together, but also know the direction on how they need to take it. And it's tough because a lot of when that family time is put together is after school, after work. Well, ADHD kids have a battery that's going 1,000 miles an hour all day long. They're trying to hold it together. And I kind of use the analogy of having a 50 apps open on your phone. What's going to happen to that battery? It's going to suck it dry, and it's going to suck it dry extremely quickly. So by the time they get home, trying to have conversations, mom and dad have been working, the poor kid's got his battery drained, it makes it even tougher.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, you know, I tell you, Judy, one of the things that I love about what I'm hearing you say is that your focus is not just on the kiddo. And I think that's a propensity for many of the professionals that I've seen that specifically worked with kiddos that had ADHD, is that they have a tendency to over-focus on the kids, which is good. And don't get me wrong, I mean, the kiddos need direct one-on-one. They need help to teach and to train and to understand. But, I mean, there's no doubt that any time that you're working with kiddos in general, I mean, it's not just the kiddos that get affected by what's going on. And so I love that it sounds like your focus is kind of on, you know, more that how do we affect the family? So one of the questions I had for you is, how does ADHD coaching help teens as well as their families kind of prepare for the success that they're going to have, you know, after high school?
Mm-hmm. One of the hardest things I've seen, Trey, and I just saw it the other night in a college fair, where one of the people from the colleges made the statement that, oh, by the way, your IEP is no longer in effect.
Wow.
Yeah. And didn't follow it up with a lot of explanation. And honestly, I could see the tension just rising from the parents out in the audience, because these are their children and they've probably done a little too much for them, and justifiably so. Their mom, their dad, they want their child to be successful. So they may have run that homework over. They may have stayed up at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to get something done that their son or daughter forgot until the last minute.
Right.
They may have done that helicopter hovering just a little bit too much. And so what's difficult at this point is, especially if they go into the college ranks, the colleges emphasize over and over and over that self-advocacy is so important. It's in the students' hands to make sure they get accommodations, that profs are doing what they're supposed to be doing. It's all in the students' hands. Well, if that child has not really developed the skills for self-advocacy or socialization or prioritizing or time management, because many of those that have ADHD have no internal clock. So along with those other executive functions, when they leave the home, if a lot of that has been done by the parent, if they leave the home and venture into the college world of independence, they will crash and burn. The statistics are frightening that it's about 45% of students without ADHD will graduate from college. That statistic plummets to 5%.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it's huge. So what's so very important is for the parent to be comfortable, to let that leash out little by little. All the parents that I've talked to and interviewed have said one of the things that they want their child to be able to do is to be able to grasp skills of independence. Yet at the same time, it's very difficult for those parents to let that leash go a little bit. But honestly, if we're going to have a child kind of trip and fall, we want them to do it in our own home and not when they're 3,000 miles away.
Yeah.
Without any support. So that's where the transition comes in. And you're right. I work very closely with the entire family because that is so vitally important for them to understand what they're doing may be a little bit too much for their child and what their child needs to do more for themselves so that those skills of independence and transition and self-advocacy can start to be put into place and build those blocks before we have them fly the coop.
Yeah, I think that's really good. Well, so let me take a little different approach because we are an audience here of a lot of parents. And a lot of folks are going to be attracted to this place, Judy, because they're going to do a Google search on what should I do on, or they're going to say, ADHD podcast. And so they're going to come here and they're going to be listening for this question right here. And this was a question you submitted that I thought was a great one. What exactly should parents be doing whenever it comes to ADHD coaching?
First and foremost, get rid of the elephant in the room. I can't tell you how many parents I have spoken to in just the short time I have been doing this where it's not discussed. It may be a younger child, it may be an adolescent age, but the situation and the disability is not really discussed with the child. They think there's something wrong with them. So when there's no discussion, there's room for interpretation.
Fascinating.
And the child is immediately going to assume there's something wrong with them. Well, there's nothing wrong with them. The movers and the shakers in this world either have ADD or ADHD tendencies, or many of them have been diagnosed that way.
Very fascinating.
The elephant needs to be out of the room. There needs to be discussion about the brain. And that's why Russell Barkley, who is a guru on ADHD research, says the most important first intervention must be education. So a student, whether they're 8 years old, I just talked to one the other day and actually used the analogy of the battery and the apps being open and the kid's eyes just opened up like, I get that. So
yeah.
There are ways to talk to them at different age levels, so that they understand that they're just wired a little bit differently. Other kids come in with glasses on, maybe with some type of physical disability. Those are all, none of us are perfect, but all of us need help in some way. Unfortunately, the ADHD is kind of the silent one, the one you can't see. So it takes a bad rap. Parents also, once that conversation is had, really need to guide their child daily. Now, what are the feelings that their child has? How are they interpreting? What happened to them at school specifically? How are they using accommodations? How are they being treated in the classroom? I, for one, Trey, when I left the school in May, and I thought, I still do, but I thought I was a very good teacher. And the information that I have just grasped and learned in the last 6 months, I did a disservice to my children, to my students at school. I need to go back and reteach them, because there just wasn't the accommodations, the modifications, the things I could have done in the room would be effective not only for those ADHD students, but all students will react to it. So it's very important for parents to find out what exactly is going on a daily basis with their child, and to handle it in a very calm way, to celebrate each and every success. ADHD students, again, have been knocked down. Their self-esteem is low. It could be the tiniest little successful piece. They need to celebrate that. They need to take pause and celebrate it. It could be, I found my homework tonight. I completed my homework. I turned my homework in. Celebration. And develop a structure that really is only enough that the child can handle it. So if the child's got tons of homework, you can't be piling on 10 more chores for them to do at home, because they're not going to be able to handle it. So you introduce things one at a time. Celebrate. Use charts. Use timers. Use spreadsheets. Take yourself away from being the bad guy. An example would be giving them a half an hour or whatever to play on a video game. The timer goes off. Your child desperately cries for 15 more minutes. And your response would be, I would love to give you 15 more minutes, but the timer went off.
Man, that's really good.
Yeah, so you're no longer the bad guy. The timer is.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Visuals, charts, a structure, and they respond very well to that type of structure within the home.
Well, let me wrap it up on one last question that we've got here. One of the things we talked a little bit about earlier is the fact that this is a difficult thing to go at alone, and not saying that it can't be done. It's not saying there's not parents that have and are doing it and will do it in the future. But I mean, let's talk about our sanity as parents when it comes to working with behaviors that challenge us. What are some of the resources that are out there for people that they can connect with?
There are several of them now that parents can access. CHAD is a huge one. That's Children and Adults of ADD. They've got some online parent programs that are in effect. There are other ADD coaches as well as myself that are out there. Joyce Kubik, who I've worked directly with, is out of Northern Ohio. She just put out a book, Unraveling ADHD, How My Greatest Deficit Became My Greatest Asset. And she also has some student and adult planners, as she works directly with ADHD students at Lorain Community College.
Yeah.
So she has a wonderful book. If parents are looking for her personal story of how she raised her children, of what she went through, that's some great information. And she also has some information at the end of the book that can help. I have a colleague out in Indiana, and I am actually partnering with her to provide another resource. So besides my coaching business, we're developing what's called ADHD Skills for Life and Learning. So we're inviting parents. That should be released hopefully within the next week or so. We had a little technical difficulties, but we're working on that. And that's going to be a resource platform for online workshops, for presentations at organizations, for presentations at school, for one-on-one questioning and answering with myself and Deshaun Wirt, who's out in Indiana. There'll be discounts on books and things like that. And we've got some great things going on that. So that's a landing piece where we can provide, we hope, a lot of services. In addition, I know you've talked and had online Dare to Parent. I met with those ladies, and that's a wonderful local resource around the Columbus area. So there's more and more coming available, and we try to provide those. Even on my website, I have resources and several links to any of those in order to provide some resources and some hope for the parents that are out there.
That's good. I like it. Well, one of the things, too, I want you to do, Judy, before we leave is there's going to be some folks that are going to hear this, and they're going to be like, my goodness, I've got to connect with this lady. So you've mentioned your website. We'll have both ADHDCoachConnect.com and ADHDSkillsForLifeAndLearning.com on the website, so you guys can click on that anytime. But what if somebody wanted to get in touch with you a little bit quicker? How would you want them to touch base with you?
Oh, they can just pick up the phone and call, or they can email me. So phone number 614-804-6706. Email at Judy at ADHDCoachConnect.com. Either one of those. And if you may see my car around town, because I've got that all over my back window. So if you see ADHD Coach Connect with a phone number, that's me. So pick up the phone and you'll get me, and I'll return your call as quickly as possible.
Well, Judy, I tell you what, I really appreciate having you on the show today. I think you're providing something that is so valuable. Maybe invaluable is the word that actually comes to mind. The ability for folks to know, how do you prep your kid what's going to be, what are they going to go through? What are they going to experience in ADHD? And what do you do when you move out? What happens when you go to college? What are you going to do then? I think what you're doing is absolutely incredible. And I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, Trey. I appreciate you having me and all that you're doing, too, because you're providing a wonderful resource and service to parents out there.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. You guys, don't forget to come and join Jeff and I this Friday for the Real Family Guys podcast. We're going to have another show just for you. That's right, Jeff and I back in the saddle. Come check us out. If nothing else, we'll see you guys on Friday.